30 years ago this week, a woman named Sally Prezant became America's first female rabbi. It was the culmination of a long struggle. As early as 1889, the journalist and activist Mary M. Cowan published a short story raising the question of whether Jewish women could become ministers. There were plenty of people who thought not. In the words of one male scholar, women's proper place was as high priestesses in the sanctuary of their home. Pamela Nadel is the director of Jewish studies at American University. She has a new book called Women and American Judaism, and she explains why it took so long to ordain women as rabbis.
Rabbis, ministers, priests are figures of authority, and we are used to envisioning them and to envisioning God as male. And when women say they want to stand in that position, they're seen as wanting to overturn tradition, even though what they really want to do is to be the authority figures upholding tradition. So it becomes incredibly controversial.
So these things are not codified in the book, the Torah, the Bible, the Quran, but in interpretations of those sacred texts.
Very much so in interpretations, at least for Judaism, and that's the only one that I can speak about. There's nowhere in Jewish texts where it is written that a woman cannot be a rabbi. Those who say women could not be rabbis said that the question never came up, and so they interpret it from what they read. But the women who wanted to be rabbis looked at Deborah, who was a judge in the Bible, and they looked at Huldah, who was a prophetess in the Bible, and they said they were figures of authority for their time. Why can't we be figures of authority in our time?
You talk about some of the pioneers then in this tradition, and there's a story that sounds, talk about typically American. I mean, I can see a television series coming. The Rabbi Girl of the Golden West.
Right, the girl rabbi of the Golden West, Ray Frank, who was really remarkable, and who in 1890, I know this is an awfully long time ago, but in 1890 in Spokane Falls in Washington, in the state of Washington, was traveling in that area and discovered that the Jews of that town would not have any services for the high holidays. And she and one of the members of the community convinced her to have services and if she would preach. And she preached in the Spokane Falls Opera House on the eve of the holiest day of the Jewish calendar. And the community was so galvanized by her preaching that they ended up creating a synagogue and building a synagogue where they hadn't had one before. And over the course of the 1890s in the media, she was reported as the first woman rabbi, the only woman rabbi, even though she never claimed to be a rabbi, but she preached and officiated and was invited in places to be a rabbi.
It would be almost 100 years before the ordination of the first female rabbi in 1972. Tell us about Sally Prezant, who 30 years ago this weekend became the first American female rabbi.
Sally Prezant was remarkable. She is remarkable. She was remarkably tenacious. And she came of age and was studying to be a rabbi at a particular moment in time, the late 1960s, the early 1970s, when this new wave of American feminism was bursting forth on the scene. By the 1960s, Americans were deeply concerned about their youth, who were protesting the Vietnam War, who were engaged in civil rights activities, and all of a sudden, ordaining a woman a rabbi didn't seem quite so radical, especially against the backdrop of the changes going on in the women's liberation movement. And so she persevered, but she had a lot of supporters behind her, not other women than in school, but friends and faculty at the seminary where she studied, and especially the president of the college.
You write, however, that some of the faculty at the college begged the seminarians to court her and perhaps marry her, and that would be the end of that.
Well, she tells a story that one of the young men whom she was dating at one point when she was in the college was approached by a faculty member and said, you know, why don't you marry her and that'll get rid of our problem.
Get rid of the problem because then she'd be off happy in the kitchen.
Because they couldn't envision that a married woman would want to be a rabbi.
Now, there are about 500-odd female rabbis in the United States.
Right. There's a greater presence in the Reform movement because they have been ordaining women much longer than the conservative movement has.
And many more female rabbis in the United States than
many more
else?
Female rabbis in the United States than anywhere else.
Hmm. How do you think female rabbis have changed the practice of Judaism?
They say that they have brought women's voices and women's perspectives to a tradition that's historically shaped by men. For example, they claim to be among the first to bring the notion that when a Jewish baby is born, we've always celebrated with great festivity the birth of a boy, but we've never celebrated in that same way the birth of a girl. So they've created these baby naming ceremonies. And they're ubiquitous in American Judaism now.
Do you think that Orthodox Jews will continue to resist female ordination?
Oh, absolutely. Blue Greenberg, who is the champion of women's ordination in the Orthodox movement, often speaks about that she expects to see women ordained in her lifetime, and members of her audience often respond she expects to live a very long time. However, there have been reports already of two women who received private ordination in the Orthodox movement. My argument is that once the question of ordaining women is opened, it will not go away. In every generation, there are going to be daughters and sisters and wives of men deeply committed to Judaism who are just as deeply committed to Judaism who are going to bring the question forward.
Pamela Nadel, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Pamela Nadel is the author of Women and American Judaism: Historical Perspectives.